This podcast is brought to you by Australia's LGBTQIA+ community media organisation, Joy. Keep Joy on air by becoming a member, a subscriber, or donate. Head to joy.org.au. Joy, a diverse sound for a diverse community.
And we've got in the studio our first, our first guest for today. We've got Chris Orr, who is here to talk about his exhibition at 45 Downstairs. Welcome to the show, Chris.
Thank you. Good afternoon, boys. It's really nice to be here. It's good to put some faces to the names as well. I'm a huge supporter of the arts on the radio.
I appreciate that as well. Now, Chris, you're here to before we start talking about the actual exhibition, we like to start off by talking to our guests about their background and I suppose in background and specifically the arts. But how did you get started in the arts, and where did your love for the arts come?
I grew up in bourgeois, but I did grow up in East Camberwell, East Hawthorne, as a little boy. I lived in a big Victorian house with my mum, who was a bit of a tyrant, so I spent a lot of time outside. When we were told to go, "I don't want to see you till tea time," I literally used to go out, run out off on my drags to take my sketchbook with me, pencils, and I used to sit in the gutters of the local streets and draw the streetscapes. So that was probably from the age of about 7 or 8.
Any of those? Did you keep any?
My mother's got some, which is kind of an odd thing because I don't really want to pry them out of her.
but wouldn't it be nice for you to have them, though? She'll give them back to you one day, won't she?
Oh, probably. I'd hope so. Yep. Yeah.
So were you good from the get-go? There was a natural talent?
It was more of a mental therapy sort of thing, an escapism. Yes. I mean, I could find, and I still do, a creative essence in anything, like an inanimate object. Like I look outside a brick wall from my office and I somehow find that inspiring as well. So I've always been, inspired by just about anything and everything. Yep. I think any object.
Well, the textures, and that's what an artist is looking for, isn't it? Like a brick wall can have beautiful texture.
Course, yeah.
And when the sun hits it in a particular way.
It's also what's behind that brick wall, the possibility of what's behind that brick wall.
Oh, your imagination
runs
right.
Yeah, absolutely. Yep. Yes, it drives a lot of people insane, including my posse of friends. I seem to use them as I sort of exercise a lot of my verbal creative skills on them a lot. So this is far more, but having a visual outlet is far more better for them and better for me.
So what happened at growing up? Did you study art?
I did. In high school, I went to an alternative high school called Ardoc in East St Kilda.
Uh-huh.
I can't do long multiplication, but I know how to weave a basket.
Oh, that's good. That must come in handy.
Yeah, that'll come in handy one day.
Yes, but during that in Form 5, my arts teacher there tried to get me into College of the Arts, which was going to go through, but my dad put a stop to that because he thought there was no career to be
in an artist
in the arts field. But even though he's a music teacher and a muso, he just pushed me into the graphic design field, which I went to I first went to Holmes Glen, which I did a tertiary orientation year, which in art and design. And then I went to Swinburne when Swinburne was still in Swinburne.
Yep.
And that was, I was rapt to get in there.
But graphic design, it's a form of art anyway, isn't it?
I call it creative prostitution. I'm still doing it.
And you get paid for it.
Well, when we get to the exhibition, it's very much your graphic design skills coming out in your current exhibition.
Some people will know my work. I had a company called Beige for many years and was responsible for a lot of street art as far as clubs and branding for small businesses, festivals, Midsummer Festival for a few years. Was a sponsor for 3 years there.
Right, okay.
MQFF, the baby, there was 3 posters I did for them.
Yeah.
The baby doll ones, I think people would probably remember, 2000 and then 2010.
Yeah. Can I just interrupt you, though,
sure.
Because very exciting news. Chris from Melbourne has just become a member. Chris, thank you so much. And donated what, Neil?
$166 as well.
Which is
brilliant.
Was that you, Chris?
Yeah, there we go.
It's nice of you to do that whilst we're here.
Thank you.
And also we've got to thank Timothy in Castlemaine, which is lovely, which is talk about the arts. It's very much an arts town, that one, isn't it? So Thank you so much, Timothy, for that. So go on.
We're talking to Chris Orr.
Yep.
I was going to add to that. I mean, at the moment, look, we've had a I think the creative industries had a bit of a punch in the stomach overnight with the election result, and I think art is a really good therapy for you know, when you're suffering or something like this happens. I mean, you pop into a gallery and it lifts you. I think supporting shows like this and supporting the arts is absolutely essential right now, because we are going to see a lot of defunding happen.
Yep.
I mean, that's guaranteed.
Well, and that's why this show is on air. It's to support the arts.
Exactly. That's why we need the members. Yeah.
So, you know, like, back to your story. Yep. Graphic design.
Yeah, so... I was in swim. Move forward.
That's all right.
I was also the gay story. I got kicked out of home when I was 17. And that was my first year at Swinburne. And I had to drop out that year. Then I went back the following year while I sort of got my stuff together. And I did that for a year. And then I moved to Paran. I sort of hopscotched across all the colleges in Melbourne because it was free then. And it was the luxury of being able to pick and choose. I was lucky to get into a lot of the arts courses I wanted. I didn't complete one. But
got around.
I then went to the nightclub for about 10 years.
Yes.
And as we all did. Yeah. And I sort of, that's when my creative, I sort of got frustrated with looking at a lot of the branding for nightclubs, especially gay nightclubs and stuff. I thought it was all a bit naff. And I sort of, people knew I had the skills. My partner sitting behind me, Paul, bought me my first Mac. And everything took off from there. And, you know, that business put a roof over my head. And
brilliant.
And over the years, my friends also realised that, look, you do have a creative skill that you should be using, not prostituting. And that was namely Gavin Brown, who invited me to exhibit with him, was it 3 years ago? 4 years, 5 years ago. And that was successful. And this is the next show. We had a few hurdles between that. I lost a house in a bushfire, which was kind of a bit curly.
Mm.
But 7 months ago, he asked me to exhibit with him again, and that's been terrific. It's been a really good healing process.
Brilliant. And tell us, what is this exhibition all about?
Oh, boy, I wish I had the answer. I would love to give you an art speak. It's Man's Struggle Against a Mechanized Society in the Face of Adversity Post-Millennium. But it just isn't that.
It's not that. No.
But it could apply to that. That was one of my favourite mantras in college, when an art teacher would ask me what the piece of artwork, because you can almost apply it to anything.
Yeah,
you can keep that one.
Okay.
But this show, I've always jinxed myself a bit with my subject matter. My first show was babies' heads. The second one was skulls, and this one is kind of end up being religion. So I'm sort of putting myself in a vulnerable position as far as sellability wise. But I like a bit of a challenge. So this time I was looking at, I've had this old engraving that's been sitting on my landing for about 20 years, and it's an 1820s engraving after Raphael, and it's I've forgotten its name, I should know that, Cardellino, Madonna del Cardellino, which is the Madonna with the golden finch.
Mm-hmm.
I was looking at the line work in that, and I thought, how could I interpret that differently, and how could I write with not using paints or pencils, but using other materials to colour it with? And so essentially using things like a cut-up Sprite and Coke cans, using that as an underlay to light, almost like broad brush strokes that an impressionist would use. I'm using the cut-up cans to light the artwork. The other one is based on a motherboard, and I've sort of gone into about a, if everyone's ever looked at, pulled apart their phone or broken their phone or looked into what's behind, you know, your laptop, the motherboard is an amazing,
yep,
adventurous, yep, terrain. It's almost like cartographic and almost tribal if you look really closely at it. So I used that and scanned one of those at 3000 dpi and then chopped it up on the computer screen and used that and as a terrain, a textual background underlying the engravings. So essentially, it actually looks quite tribal and mystical, and you cannot actually understand what and where it's derived from. So they're quite hypnotic, I think, in that way.
Mm. Like tattoos, really.
Exactly right.
Yeah,
exactly right, Jono.
Yeah, and it really is very striking, and it's the same image of Madonna over and over
That's correct. It wasn't intentional. Like, the pieces that I've... There's four times as many pieces that aren't being shown that aren't the Madonna, but this one just kept coming to the forefront. And as a commercial artist, I can only let... It's like I'm the worst client I've ever had, but you can only let the best that you see best come through. So predominantly it looks like a religious show, but it's not.
Mm.
But there could be statements made about branding of religion and, you know... and
well, you've got a popular soft drink.
Yeah, no. We'll look forward to that.
It.
Yes, we'll look forward to the potential lawsuit on that. I think it'll be good publicity.
Bit of pop art, you know.
Yes, but I think that's been done for years anyway. I mean, you think of Andy Warhol and the Campbell suit. Was it a Campbell suit?
Yeah. But the thing is that on the poster one that you bought in, it is absolutely beautiful. The colours that you've got there, it really is quite stunning.
Very vivid.
Thank you. The colours, what's interesting about these colours, that it's not done with the computer, it's actually the cans and the luminosity and the refraction of light that comes off a reflective material that's giving this hypnotic luminosity. So I'd like to say I sat there and coloured it all.
Yeah.
But it's almost a form of...
Wow.
I can't believe I'm saying decoupage, but decoupage, you know, I guess that's what it is. And these layers here are just... layers and layers of different cans, and I rub them out on the computer screen to find the next layer underneath.
Yep.
So,
and it's the way you print them too, and then
Well, this is it's a C-type, and it's essentially C-type is a colour emulsion, the same as you would put in your old photographs in a dark room. Mm. And this is on a plastic, and it's called a Fuji Flex, and it's almost printed on a plastic, so it has great durability.
Yeah.
And then the other ones I'm doing are also on a 100% cotton rag, and they have a chalkiness. So these ones, listeners, I'm pointing to something you can't see.
but it's so striking, and this image of Madonna is, you know, like it is very religious, but it's not as well.
That's
it?
Right.
You
know, like,
and because you've made it very pop arty in a way.
I hope so. Yeah.
So it's the beautiful old with the new feel. It's fantastic. So
when
does the exhibition happen?
Oh, and I should have that right in front of me.
I do know this. I do. I thought you.
Seeing
you
I'm meant to be there tomorrow, I should know
you
this.
First of May.
That's right. It opened. It's being hung, so it's on view from the 21st of May, which is this Tuesday.
Yep.
The opening is Saturday, the 25th of May, and that's from 2 to 4pm. Please come along. It'll be a bit of a bum fight. It'll be exciting. I'm exhibiting and showing with my friend Gavin Brown.
Uh-huh.
So,
it'll be a bit of a party.
Yes, I know. And we've been best friends on and off the field for years. Yeah. So.
And it runs to the 1st of June.
That's right.
And where is it?
At 45 downstairs.
A great space.
Yeah, it's a beautiful space. Yeah, it's like a New York sort of loft. I love it. Flinders Lane, 45 Flinders Lane.
And they're such great supporters of the arts.
They are. They're really good. They? Well, Mary Lou used to be on the ABC back in the day, so she's great.
Mm. Yeah. I love dealing with them, and I love what they do there.
It really is. It's a godsend. Yeah.
Okay, so Chris, thank you so much for coming in.
Sorry, Chris, before you go, just quickly before you go, the title of the exhibition?
Conventicle.
Conventicle.
So conventicle is the word I was looking... It's appropriate, I think. It's an unauthorised religious assemblage. Okay. And it's kind of almost... explains what I'm doing.
Describes the work.
It's a good word, and it's a great-sounding word.
Yep.
Yeah.
I've never used it in a sentence.
No.
But.
Well, now you have.
Well, thank you, Chris, for coming in.
Thank you so much.
And 45 downstairs, Saturday is the official opening.
And please, listeners, keep subscribing, but also, if you're feeling a bit wounded this week after the election, go and do yourself a favour and look at some artwork. It really does help.
It will help.
Yeah. Or listen to somebody singing.
Oh, well, yes. Well.
Thanks, Chris. You're here on Joy 94.9 Sunday Arts Magazine.
Thanks for listening to another Joy podcast brought to you by Australia's LGBTQIA+ community media organisation, Joy. Help us keep Joy on air. Head to joy.org.au. Joy, a diverse sound for a diverse community.